Austin 316 says I just whipped your... Sit there and call yourself the gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
What?
I said, shut up. You can kiss my ass.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
What? And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
Welcome to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and this week we are bringing you a special watch-along edition of the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, and we are covering Canadian Stampede, July 1997. That is the main event of Canadian Stampede. It's the 10-man tag team match. Basically, the United States versus Canada. The Hart Foundation versus a bunch of random wrestlers from America. So
good old North American feud.
Yeah. And I'm Mike Pru, and I'm always joined by JV. JV, how you doing?
Good. How are you, brother?
We're good. You know, and this is a change of pace. You know, we didn't expect to be doing this week. We had our next episode on tap. It was episode 86. I don't deserve that. Covering June of 2001, but you know, we had to change course just within this day because of so much shit going on. You know, a long weekend, you're back to work today, a 4-day work week changes your whole fucking life at work because you're still gonna do the same amount of work, but you gotta do it in 4 days. And
fantasy football.
Right, fantasy football. We had fucking drafts tonight. One at 7 o'clock p.m., you know, 7 p.m. We both were in that draft. Then I had one at 8 p.m., so that just wrapped up. So we're like, we can't do the regular episode because it just won't work for time-wise. And also with you working, you're not going to be able to, you know, check the notes out and do your fucking research and shit. So we put it on the back burner. That'll be coming next week. But it's been a while since we did a poll on Twitter, so I'm glad that JV recommended that. JV's like, hey, how about a watch-along, maybe? I was like, all right, cool. We haven't done that in a while anyway. And it gave me something to do on some of my downtime at work because I'm basically working. I'm at work, but there's no kids there, and I'm just in my room by myself watching professional development all the time. So there's some wiggle room in there. So I was able to put out a poll. And the poll was the following four matches. It was the final four match from In Your House, 1997, leading up to WrestleMania. And then we had the Canadian Stampede match. And then also I put in Austin versus McMahon from St. Valentine's Day Massacre, that's February of 99, and Austin versus Dude Love from Unforgiven 98. So it was tough to narrow those down because I had a list of a bunch of matches. I had some WCW ones. I had some more recent ones like 2000, 2001. It's like, all right, let me just narrow this down to like 97 and 99. So I picked those four matches. And the results were, obviously, you know, Canadian Stampede won. But it won with 33% of the vote. And it was followed by Austin versus McMahon from St. Valentine's Day Massacre in a steel cage, the debut of Big Nasty Paul White, not the Big Show yet, with 28% of the vote. And then after that, third place, Austin versus Dude Love from Unforgiven 98, 21%. And then that final four match got 18%, which I was surprised by because I thought that was a big match that people would want to hear about. But I want to do it someday, but it didn't win this time. So we got the Canadian Stampede. JV, when you put your vote in, what'd you vote for?
I voted for the Vince McMahon.
Oh, so just right behind us.
Yeah.
So We ended up with Canadian Stampede, and it's not long. It's a decent size. It's 28 minutes, and then a little bit time after. So this will be our one match that we're going to watch on this episode. You know, maybe another time, if we run into a jam, we'll do a watch-along for Austin versus McMahon from St. Valentine's Day Massacre, since it got second place. So what I did say in the tweet, though, was that, I don't know if everybody got it. Hopefully you got it. If you have a sense of humor, you should have got it. But I said, I don't know. I don't know if I have enough time.
I got the joke. Old school.
From old school, yeah. Oh, I'm going to go to Home Depot, you know, maybe pick out some flooring, some wallpaper, you know, maybe go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if I have enough time. So obviously, what I'm saying is we don't have enough time, so we're not going to do a second match on this episode. We'll save it for the next time. All right, so thanks, guys, for going and voting and giving us something to talk about tonight. And for those of you that didn't vote, well, the place to go vote next time is on Twitter, and it's @BottomLineCast, and you can follow me, Mike Prue, on Twitter, also @MPRU83, and you can follow JV @JohnVanDamage. And also be sure to check out our YouTube channel. We have all our episodes available there. And also join our Facebook group, Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. And also, if you want some merchandise, that nice little skull logo we have, Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, you can get that on a t-shirt, you can get it on a sweatshirt, you can get it on a fanny pack at teespring.com/bottom-line-wrestling-cast. So check it out there at teespring.com to get some merch. That gives us a few bucks.
Yeah, stock up. I think we got hoodies on there. It's about to get a little fucking cold.
Right. Yeah, the hoodies. Those are probably cool. I got to get me one of those too.
Yeah.
All right. So we're about to get into it, but I do want to tell you, if you're just listening for the first time, if you haven't been an avid listener from day one, just back in September of 2018, as we approach our 2-year anniversary of doing this show, which is next week. 2 years next week, we've been doing it. And this topic was one of our early episodes. It was episode 12, Canadian Stampede, June through July of 97. We covered all of June leading up to this pay-per-view, which was the first week of July. So all of that's available on episode 12. Here and there, during the match when we're watching, I'm sure I'll bring some things up that we discussed there. But if you want the full lead-up breakdown, if you want, because I did look back at like what some of the things that we talked about for that episode, one of the things that stood out to me as being one of the funniest moments that we had in the early episodes was when Mick Foley's trying to be Stone Cold's partner. And he just, after week, he's asking him, you know, can I be your partner? I want to be your partner. And at this point, Shawn Michaels, who was tag team champions with Stone Cold, but got into this fight with Bret Hart, like a legit fight backstage, and said, I'm fucking out of here. I quit. I leave. I'm leaving now. And he was...
That's one of his bitch moves that he was doing all the time.
And he even like threatened, I'm going to go, because they were in Hartford, Connecticut. He's like, I'm going to go to Boston. I'm going to go to show up on Nitro right now. You know, because he was all bitchy. And Bret Hart pulled his fucking hair out. So he had like a fucking massive bald spot. So he was out. He wasn't on TV for like a month because he wanted his hair to grow back. That's what I think. But anyway, so Shawn Michaels is out as his partner. So Austin needs a new partner to defend the titles with, or he's going to get stripped of the tag team title. So Mick Foley's like, oh, Mankind, now I want to be a partner. I want to be a partner. And Austin's like, no, whatever. You know, I had this one guy, you know, danced around and had long hair, had earrings, and he was my partner. And Mick Foley's like, well, that's perfect because, you know, I only have one ear, so I can have one earring. I have long hair, and I can shake my ass, and I think I got a damn good ass. And then the kicker here that I remember from that episode is Austin saying, yeah, you're right. You got a nice big fat ass.
I remember this all. This is all coming back to me.
You got a nice big fat ass. And that's at the time where he was just saying ass a whole lot. I'm going to cut ass off of the rattlesnake. And just, it was a lot of like innuendo.
Like, off a rattlesnake.
And that's what he's talking about, the Hart Foundation. He's going to cut the ass off. The ass is Owen Hart. That's the ass of the rattlesnake of the Hart Foundation. He's going to cut that ass off. But yeah, so that's all. We talk about that on episode 12, Canadian Stampede. So definitely go back if you want some extra information about what we're going to go through today on this episode with the Canadian Stampede main event match. So definitely worth going back to check out. I would say JV and I have improved over a year and a half. And the quality of the audio is definitely better because the current service that we use was not what we were using at the time. So it'll sound a little different, but get beyond that because it's still good content that we always bring you. It just sounds a little different because we're newbies and we're not spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars to put out a podcast because we're not making diddly squat. We do it for pleasure and we do it for you. And that's the bottom line because Mike Bruce said so. All right, and with that said, let's get to the main event. Timestamp for the Canadian Stampede. So go to the WWE Network, go to In Your House, Canadian Stampede, from July 6, 1997. JV, you there?
Yep, I was just getting there.
Okay. Timestamp is going to be 1 hour, 7 minutes, 30 seconds. So it's not one of the prepackaged links. You have to get to that on your own. The reason why is we don't need to listen to the fucking Canadian national anthem.
No, I don't want to hear anything. Yeah.
So just maybe go to that. Like, it's right at the end. There's a promo, then there's the match. Go to the match and then click the 15-second button a few times. Find yourself at 1 hour, 7 minutes, 30 seconds. And you'll see Stu and Helen Hart on the screen, smiling.
Some guy behind them with his fist in the air.
Yep. Some weird doll in the background on the far right. Looks like an alien.
Some Burger King hats.
Jerry Lawler at the time. Yep. All right, so you should be about situated there. 1 hour, 7 minute, 30 second mark. I will give us a countdown as we always do here. On a watch along, 3, down to 1, then I'll say play. And when I say play, we'll click play. All right, we're ready to go. 3, 2, 1, play. All right. Here we are.
Stu looks like he doesn't know where he was.
Yeah. It's sad, but it's true. And here we go. We get the, in this case, so here we are, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in a situation that's been going on, you know, just briefly, is that we had the Hart Foundation as huge heels in the United States. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin is big baby face at the time. But we have a different dynamic here in Canada, where we're going to see, and they've been alternating weeks, so like every other week on Raw is Raw's in Canada, Raw's in the United States, Raw's in Canada, and back and forth. And what we see is when Bret Hart and the Hart Foundation are in the United States, they're heels, but when they're in Canada, they're baby faces. When Austin's in Canada, he's a heel. When he's in the United States, he's a baby face. That's something that we've never ever seen before in the history of wrestling, probably never see again. And that's what we're seeing.
Which was really cool.
Right. Super cool, and just showed how into it the fans were, that they were willing to just go with it. Like, they created it and they motivated it and they just kept with it all the way to this, basically this crescendo of a show that has been, you know, it's lived on people's mind as being one of the biggest shows of all time. And it's weird because it's such a small card and it's just a match that has no title. It's just like us versus them mentality.
Yeah, and of all the people in this match, all the performers, only Goldust is still active. Right?
Is that right? Well, yeah. Yeah. Shit. Gold Dust.
Right. Legion of Doom's not. Ken Shamrock's not. Stone Cold Steve Austin's not. Who else is in this match? Brian Pillman?
Not. No Jim Neidhart. Bret Hart's
no
been
Jim
done.
No Jim Neidhart. Bret Hart's done.
Bulldog, obviously. That's a, actually, yeah. now that you bring that up, that's the saddest part of it. There's a lot of dead people in this match. Jeez. Shit, more than 50% of this match is dead. Hawk.
Yeah. Right. One out of four, right, in the ring right now.
Right. All right, core of that is out. Maybe
he's
it's not
the man.
Had, though. Yeah, I'll talk about death percentage in a moment once everybody gets in the ring. But here we have Austin. He's in heel Austin mode. So if you've been listening to our regular episodes, hey, this is an early indication of heel Austin. And at this point in 97, he's not far off from being a heel. And he's kind of a reluctant heel anyway. He's still being a heel, but being cheered. Because his character didn't change much after WrestleMania 13 at this point.
Five great competitors in the ring, ladies and gentlemen. And they're going to have to function as a team. And that could be
all right, so
in this match. Here we go.
That team is pretty much alive. It's the Hart Foundation that's going to have the real problems.
Yeah.
Probably Bret Hart, right?
What, that's alive?
Yeah.
Only Bret Hart, yeah.
Shit.
Feldman's gone, Owen Hart's gone, British Bulldog's gone.
Jim Neidhart's gone.
And Jim Neidhart's gone. Who'd I say that's not in this? Is Bulldog not in this match?
Bulldog's in this match, yeah. A 4 out of 5 pass.
Oof. And then
match.
You got two
on
in the
that
ring?
Team. And then Jess Hawk on the other side. So 60%.
Wow.
Man, that's sad. All right,
he's got Offspring, though. Still going. He's got
Natty. Natty, yeah.
We got Brian Pillman Jr.
Right.
Wrestling. Yeah.
Also helped plug the show one episode. He said he was going to talk shit about my mom or something like that.
yeah, that's right. That was cool.
Is the fake? I always thought his wife was like fake Princess Diana.
Princess Diana,
yeah.
Same here.
Like, are you trying to be Princess Diana? Well, you're from
I feel
Canada.
Like that's, yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if that's what they were going for. I kind of always assume that's.
Yeah. I guess that's an easy assumption. But nobody's ever outright said it on anything that I've ever listened to or. Red. Oh, I love this Owen Hart music.
Ah, the best music. Owen Hart was so good.
He's awesome.
It's like no matter what, whenever Owen Hart comes on, no matter when I'm watching, whatever, it's just like, ah, man, what could have been?
Right, and
I feel like this. He had so much more to give to the business.
Oh, I believe it. Sure did. He's got that IC title and those Slammy Awards, but he could have been the world champion.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things happened even prior to his death that maybe didn't allow for that to happen where he was working. You know, after the screw job, Owen Hart got the screw job too. Even though he still worked his ass off, he made a tag team of him and Jeff Jarrett entertaining.
Yeah. Here he is.
The Hitman.
Canada's own, their superhero.
I'm so happy to be watching a Bret Hart match.
Yeah. A lot of good workers in this match. I always thought Shamrock was a good worker. Goldust, Stone Cold, Brian Pillman, Bret Hart, Owen Hart. I never really cared for British Bulldog.
Nah, I didn't care much for him either.
The older I get, the less impressed I am of the Legion of Doom as a tag team.
Especially WWF Legion of Doom.
Yeah. Like that's what I mean. Like specifically WWF.
They did nothing.
Down.
Dun, dun. Down. This music's great.
Down out.
So
that guitar rip.
With Bret Hart here, you know, it's easy to make comparisons to what we're currently covering on our regular episodes of the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. So I just think, man, imagine if Bret Hart stayed and it was, you know, he didn't get fucking kicked in the head by Goldberg and had to end his career. Imagine him continuing on within that same year or year later that he was, actually, yeah, the same year he was injured. He was in WWF. He would have been able to have matches with Kurt Angle.
Whoa.
Imagine that shit.
That would have been sick. I've never thought of that. So they've never wrestled. That's right.
They never wrestled. It would have been fucking tear down the house shit. I mean, if some of, like, a couple of Bret Hart's best matches are with Austin, imagine what Angle could do.
No, I can't imagine.
Oh, my God. All right, so here we have some jawjacking in the center of the ring. This is the main feud here that's been going on. It's Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin. This is essentially going to be the blow-off between their feud. This is going to be the end of it because they're going to go in different directions after this match. So they've been going at it for a year. Austin's been yapping and yapping. He wanted his match back in 96. He finally got it at Survivor Series. He lost. And they went at it at WrestleMania, obviously, and that's where the double turn happened. And it's been going on, and Bret Hart doesn't like how the WWF fans are cheering for this asshole, this SOB. So he's going back to his country. Yeah.
He's disrespectful.
And he wants to go back to values.
Yes.
So, in essence, Bret Hart's character is not really a heel. His character is not a heel. It's just a heel to the culture of 1997.
Yeah,
the United States culture. Right. So they're fucking going at it here in the corner, back and forth. Bret Hart had the advantage for a while. Austin turned him back. And oh. So Austin nailed him in the corner for a bit and then pegged off the crowd. Bret Hart's been right back in control at this point now. I remember watching this match when we covered it back in December of 2018. That's when episode 12 came out. So nearly 2 years, you know, we're only 3 months away from when we covered it last. And that's the last time we watched it, I'm sure. It's the last time I watched it.
No, same here.
And I remember it being just, like, action-packed. So it's going to be hard for us to keep up with everything. Especially, you know, if I have other things to say, might miss some action. Hopefully you follow along with us and join this match. And it's great that they start off with Bret Hart and Austin, too. Now, how shitty would it be if it was like Anvil against Hawk to start the match?
Awful. That's how I put the crowd to sleep early. I mean, yeah, this you know, got the crowd alive starting with those two.
Austin
in control now.
And believe me, Austin has a... $1 million dream?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the $1 million dream.
Kind of looks like
on
it, yeah.
Don't look that great, but that's what it is. They went back to that same spot from the Survivor Series.
Yep.
Bret Hart kicked off the ropes.
Won the match with that, right?
Hey, won the match at Survivor Series 96 with that. And it's been used a few more times since then. He used that at WrestleMania 13. It was used in the Rock match. WrestleMania 17 with Austin. Hell of a spot. Originally used
here comes
in
your boy, Neidhart.
Yeah. Anvil was one of my favorites as a kid.
Yeah, I know. You say that all the time.
Yeah, baby.
That's all I know. You're going to grow a goatee like him. And just stroke it all the time.
Just stroking.
Get him, Shamrock. Fuck him up.
Yeah, Shamrock, baby. We haven't seen him in a while.
Does no comparison. Look, you gotta try and fucking.
Look at Anvil. He's trying to, like, do UFC fighting with him. Like, acting like he's gonna give him some sidekicks.
It's almost insulting.
Yeah, like I wish you would have knocked Danville out right there. Oh, there he goes. Oh, that's a funny spot, though.
Yeah, it is.
Because Anvil's like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. Anvil misses once. Well, Anvil, he ducks. So Shamrock misses Bellman. Once.
Bellman's just loaded with charisma all the time.
Absolutely.
Knows how to work the crowd.
But yeah, back to that Anvil spot. He laughs. He, ha, I got you. And then he gets kicked. That was nice.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, we talked in our early episodes, too, of
nice
how
move.
Good Shamrock is.
Oh, yeah. Dude, so good. If he could have just developed, like, an interesting character, it's just he never really... That's the difference between his career and Kurt Angle's career, I think. Is Kurt Angle was able to just come out and develop an interesting character, you know?
Right, Kurt Angle already had that instant heat of being an Olympian when people were like, who gives a fuck about Olympians and wrestling? Because it's never worked.
Shamrock should have used that more. I'm a former UFC champion! Ah, you know, like...
Right, I'm a mixed martial artist! I can kick anybody's ass! He would have to be heel, but they wanted him babyface.
Instead, he just yelled all the time.
Yeah, he just freaked out.
Yeah.
I love that. Just the arms up in the air.
Yeah, I loved it too. He was one of my favorites during this time.
And then he just kicked the shit out of the refs all the time.
Yeah. His figures were always cool. His action figures. All right. Pillman and Shamrock in the ring here.
Ooh. Nice clothesline there.
Clothesline, Pillman. Right hand's raining down from Shamrock onto Pillman here. Belly to belly.
Oh, wow.
Fucking great belly to belly.
Pillman's like, I'm out of here. All right, time for Owen Hart.
It's like, this guy's a new.
Oh, Shamrock tags out. All right, so we got Goldust and Owen Hart.
Two another great workers. Goldust is like, it's like this guy gets better with age.
Yeah, he does.
I didn't see his match this week on the AEW pay-per-view. I only caught the main event. His tag match.
Yeah, it
wasn't that bad.
I didn't watch it. I got the paper.
Kind of shitty.
Yeah, I got the pay-per-view, and I stopped watching with a few matches left, partly because it was late, but also because I was recording it. Like, all right, I'll watch it later.
Yeah, luck shiv.
Right. I just wasn't interested because it felt like another episode of Dynamite to me.
That is what it felt like.
Like, there's like nothing different or special about this. And it's supposed to be their big show. This is like their WrestleMania. This was their kickoff show that they had. You know, it's what launched AEW before there being AEW. But it wasn't really treated like that. I hadn't checked those matches out. I definitely will still, though. All right, now we have Hawk in the ring with Owen Hart. Oh, shit. Timestamp. We didn't do a timestamp check.
It sounds like we're pretty even, though.
Yeah, I think so.
51, yep. 52.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Hawk's going up to the top. Owen Hart lays in the center of the ring.
Trips, almost falls off.
He almost did, yep. And he goes for a splash. Crap splash.
Wicked shitty splash. Just fucking lands feet first and falls over.
All right, so Owen Hart's able to turn that into a sharpshooter, but only briefly as Animal just runs in and gives him a double axe handle to the back of the head. Bulldog runs in, hits his impressive suplex, that vertical suplex. Oh, power slam situation.
He loves picking people up. That's what I remember about British Bulldog.
Any match with 10 people should be an elimination match.
Yeah, I agree.
There's just, like, too many scenarios. Like, imagine that right there. Oh. Bulldog wins the match after hitting his power slam on Hawk. Like, what the fuck? No.
Well, it makes you kind of understand the possibilities of who's going to win here. Like, you know, Neidhart's not going to fucking pin anybody. You know?
300 pound weight advantage to the corner. Look
out! Ooh, Bret Hart working with
Animal.
Animal, yeah. I don't think in LOD's initial run that they had a match with the Hart Foundation.
Really?
Well, this, they may have.
Maybe
but,
on Superstars or something.
Or maybe on a house show. I'm not sure about that, but.
Is the Natural in the Hitman?
Yeah, the Natural. They call him the Natural. He's the man.
Yeah. It is right. 2 second generation stars. Everything Bret Hart does is just so fucking crisp.
Right.
That's wild. That's why those elbows. Jeez, man.
That's why I was so excited to watch this match. I was like, shit, we get to see Bret Hart again. And I just remember our time of covering this. Every week, we were talking about Bret Hart being so fucking excellent. The excellence of execution is fucking legit. Everything he does is spot on. All right, so we got a fucking melee going on here. Everybody's in the ring, yeah, pounding each other.
It's got a good old fashioned shit show. Look at their hands in the air. I'm like, they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin didn't just see them fucking stomping away or hear them.
Right. And that's our first Earl Hebner reference of the match.
One arm backbreaker, my own heart.
Earl Hebner hasn't stood out yet, so I have nothing bad to say about him. Until he tries to get involved. So we have two replacements in for the USA team. So LOD was always supposed to be part of this match. Obviously Stone Cold was too. But Shamrock and Goldust were replacements for Shawn Michaels and Sid.
Ah, no kidding.
Yeah, so Sid got into a car accident. And Goldust, I believe, replaced him. Ken Shamrock replaced Shawn Michaels after Shawn Michaels threw his hissy fit. And would come back later this month. Animal reverses. Animal in
command. Wait a minute. And he drops it. Powerbomb by Animal. Big powerbomb from Animal.
But it's crazy, though, that, irregardless of what the team was, they were still able to put on this fucking awesome match. The crowd was hyped for it. I wonder if Sid and Shawn Michaels being there would have made it even better. You would think.
I think so. I mean, they're better than the Legion of than Shamrock and
Goldust.
Well,
Goldust's a good worker. So is Shamrock.
Shamrock, yeah, I don't know, because Sid wasn't the best worker.
No. Oh, Austin just
hit with a soda.
I think it was Bruce Hart.
Bruce Hart's got Negan's jacket on again.
Negan.
Look.
Oh, yeah. He's grabbing him.
Look at him.
Look at him.
Look at him.
What the fuck?
Look at him. He's got a fucking black leather jacket on. What a loser.
Bruce Hart, sunglasses, black leather jacket. Doesn't know if he looks like Bret Hart or Owen Hart. He's in the middle there. His face looks like Bret Hart, but his hair is Owen Hart.
I'm going to write a letter to Robert Kirkman. You created Negan based off fucking Bruce Hart.
Not Robert Negan.
Huh?
Robert McKirkman? Kirkman? Robert Kirkman.
What did I say? Robert Negan?
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that, because I know it's fucking Robert Kirkman.
All right, so Austin's back in the ring with Jim Neidhart. They lock hands. Oh, yeah. Austin working heel style. He's the first to kick to the gut. To the babyface in Canada, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, with Natty Neidhart in attendance. The whole Hart family is there, as we'll see later after this match.
Crowd's loving this. Austin's getting his ass kicked in the corner by basically the whole country of Canada.
Yeah.
Owen Hart's on his way out.
Yep, Owen Hart being walked off by the refs. Austin going at it on everybody from the Hart Foundation.
Boom! In comes Neidhart. In comes Pillman. Pillman ass shot. Fans love it.
Hollywood Blonde right there.
Look, he's like holding it down more.
Yeah. He's trying to embarrass him. Fuck with him. Oh, we got a stun up. Pillman sells it like crapola.
Yeah. And it's like he didn't know it was coming.
Yeah. Oh, shit. But Pillman rolls out, but Bret Hart grabs Austin's legs. And what's he gonna... He's gonna whack Austin's knee brace onto the corner post. Not once, but twice. Is he gonna do that signature spot where he puts on the figure four on the corner post? I'm hoping for that. Oh, shit. Fire extinguisher.
That's heel Bret Hart, that move.
Yep. Ah, twice with the fire extinguisher. Is it coming? Here we go.
There we go.
Figure four on the corner post. Bret Hart invented that spot. As far as I'm concerned, he invented that.
Yeah, no one did it as well as him.
I haven't seen many people do it at all. Never mind after, but definitely not before. Unless it was in fucking Memphis or something. Some shit I haven't watched.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Yeah. Hawk gets some payback for that power slam earlier with a nice body slam to the Bulldog.
Yeah. Now, exchanging hard bumps.
Yeah. Hey, asshole, you hit me pretty hard. Oh! Hawk goes to the top, but Bulldog trips the leg and Hawk falls on his nuts. It's funny how Hawk shows up for this payday at Indie House Canadian Stampede, but he blows off the ECW shows back in 94. So, fuck it. There's no money in that. I'm not going. Now Austin is walking off.
The fuck is going on? For some reason, I don't remember this.
Yeah, now Austin's off. So Owen Hart was out. Now Austin.
Come on, go tent the... We want to see the test of strength between these two. Let's go. Lock them up, boys. Here we go.
Yeah, so now it's 4-on-4.
Yeah, Anvil and Animal.
Yeah, this is exciting. this is a little break for the crowd. So, they've lost Austin momentarily. He'll be back for sure.
Like, I understand Anvil's supposed to be a big guy, but fucking Animal is a lot bigger than him.
I think it's
like mass wise, he's taller and he's wider.
Oh shit!
Here we go.
Nice. Old Heart Foundation.
Do they have a name for that?
No, that's actually a Demolition's finishing move. What an unbelievable partisan crowd, JR. It was called the Demolition Decapitation. It's like the backbreaker elbow drop. Demolition used that all the time. Yes, maybe I was wrong with my statement saying classic Heart Foundation. That's classic Demolition. Their finisher was called the Heart Attack.
Yeah, I know that.
Where Anvil held up their opponent in the middle of the ring and Bret would come by with a clothesline.
Oh! Headbutt to the groin.
It's funny with Anvil and Hitman here. Hitman's this huge star. They still look like they're a tag team with their gear.
Yeah.
Oh, sternum first. That looks like it was fucking throat first, though.
Anvil won't let go.
Yeah, that's all he's got. Well, he had to go back to that because when they tried to break him up, they broke him up from the Hot Foundation, they tried to make him look different, but they gave him the fucking MC Hammer pants with Coco Beware. You remember that?
Oof, that was brutal.
And Owen Hart, too. They were all wearing the fucking MC Hammer pants.
Yeah, was that High Energy or something?
Yeah, High Energy was Owen Hart and Coco. Their new foundation was...
That's right, the New Heart Foundation. Yeah.
No, just New Foundation, no Heart.
Oh,
they left
really?
The Heart out, yeah. New Foundation, Anvil, and Owen Hart.
I don't think I ever realized that. They left the Heart out.
Guess they didn't want him to be associated with Bret Hart.
Yeah, so petty.
They probably thought, well, they'll get it. It's foundation.
My dumbass. It's the new Hart Foundation. Doesn't even say Hart on the screen.
Hey, I was a dumbass at that time too. Like I said before, and as Alex Dorio had pointed out, he was just watching some of our recent episodes, and he laughed out loud. He said, when he heard me say that I picked the Repo Man as the winner of the Royal Rumble in 1992.
That was hilarious.
Like, yeah, so if we're talking about 1992, yeah, we can't talk shit about ourselves today. We were just kids. I didn't know diddly shit. And Alex actually told me that his favorite wrestler at the time, or somebody that was going to become a big star in his mind, was Virgil.
I liked Virgil too. My brother loved Virgil.
I liked Virgil too. He was fucking hot at the time.
Yeah.
He knocked out Million Dollar Man with that fucking Million Dollar Belt. And the line that I always remember is like, people are going to find out the way you spell man is V-I-R-G-I-L. Alright, so we have Bulldog and Goldust, and Goldust hits a Bulldog on the Bulldog.
Great Bulldog. One of the best Bulldogs.
Yeah, his Bulldog is
Stank,
excellent.
Goldust, both have really good.
Yeah, I would say Bulldogs. Dustin Rhodes' Bulldog is one of the best. You would think the British Bulldog would have a fucking Bulldog. But all he does is take Bulldogs.
Yeah.
I've noticed that oftentimes, and I've said that before. Oh, a bulldog to bulldog. But he doesn't fucking land his own.
He's just like, is it power slam time?
I feel so bad for Dustin Rhodes because of his character, Goldust, he always has to take that nut shot.
Yeah, I know.
It's like in every match, he hits his nuts. Because it's like, ah, oh, he hit his nuts because he's supposed to be gay, so we're going to laugh about that.
Yeah.
That kind of bullshit.
Homophobic bullshit
right.
In the 90s.
Yep. Oh, here comes
here
Austin
comes.
Back.
He's back.
But it's cool because they were selling his knee injury, and Bret Hart was working on the knee. But to the larger audience, Austin is still the babyface, regardless of this pro Hart Foundation crowd that we see on TV. Most of the people still rooting for Austin. But here we go, right back to the start. It's Austin and Bret Hart. Austin stomping a fucking mud hole with his good leg. Whips Bret Hart. Sternum first.
No one does it like Bret Hart.
Austin hits a suplex.
Nice
bam.
Suplex. The chemistry these two guys had.
Now, just a frame of reference, too. You know, for the listeners and even you, JV, you might not think of it, but Austin's only a month away from getting dropped on his head at SummerSlam 97 by Owen Hart. So this
is right. One
of his last matches where he has his... You know, full functions, as he's always had prior to that.
Before he becomes bionic.
Yeah, right, before the bionic begins. I do have to say, though, that a lot of his late 2000 into 2001 work is almost back to normal. It's not as brawly. He can do a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I think it's just after, like, throughout 98, 99, where he's very careful.
Readjusting, yeah.
So definitely a huge difference. But by 2000, 2001, he's starting to feel better.
Yeah, I mean, look at the matches we just covered that he had with Benoit and shit.
Right. Benoit, the matches he had with Kurt Angle.
Yep.
All right, Bret Hart. Oh, Bret Hart gets the sharpshooter on, but here comes... Animal again.
Animal.
Yeah, Animal.
Save.
Yeah, the second save of the game of the match of the game. It's fucking baseball. All right, so, oh, nice. Austin's going to put on the sharpshooter. He pegs off Bret Hart as he does it. And he's sitting down, but here comes Owen Hart. Owen Hart's back. And this is the beginning of the Owen Hart-Austin feud, it seems like. In retrospect.
Nobody beats up my brother.
Love you, Owen.
Yeah.
Remember when they first got them back together? My brother Owen, love you.
So corny.
I mean, Owen Hart and Bulldog were having a lot of shit at the time. And Bret Hart had them reconcile.
It's like the mediator.
Right.
Yeah.
So, oh, fucking Bruce Hart again. Another soda.
Bruce Hart sucks.
Yeah, fucking get the fuck down. Who are you, nerd ass? Look at this guy.
Who's this clown?
That's Goof Hart.
You see that guy just like lined up?
That guy was ready to punch him, and I don't think he's part of the Hart family.
Guy just really hates America.
He hates Stone Cold. All right, Austin goes for Owen. Oh, shit, and that was the end of it. So Owen Hart rolls up Austin right there. Oh, Ken Shamrock fucking just laid Bruce Hart right into the...
Holy shit. It's like Ken Shamrock didn't know it, like
who that guy was.
Actual Hart. Yeah. Like, it's not just a random fan.
And shit's going off in the ring. Now, there is a story about the whole Bruce Hart shit there. When Bruce Hart threw that soda at Austin, and Austin got close, Bruce Hart nailed in some kidney shots to Austin, like legit ones, and it fucked up the spot apparently, and it ended up finishing the way they needed it to, where Austin rolls up, where Austin is rolled up by Owen. But Austin was pissed at his brother for nailing Austin like that and fucking up what led to that final spot.
Yeah, it's a douchebag move.
Right, he's like going into business for himself, like, Yeah, I get it noticed. You know, I'm Big Star too. I'm Bruce Hart. You fucking suck.
Look at my jacket and my sunglasses.
Now, I would say during this, if you're watching along, keep an eye on Bruce Hart, because he's going to try to get in as many legit shots in as he can. There is a spot where he's kicking somebody. I don't remember exactly because the last time I watched it was a year and a half ago. But keep an eye on him, because he definitely gives some stiff kicks coming up soon.
Such a clown.
Austin takes the pinfall loss to Owen Hart. And like I said, that's what will lead to the feud that builds up to SummerSlam. Hometown gets to be happy. So Canada is so happy here. The Hart family is happy. But guess what? Just a mere 4 months later, WWF is going to screw the Hart family in Canada. The Montreal screw job. So this is like the glory. And then months later...
That relationship goes south.
Yeah. Owen Hart. See, Owen Hart's pissed. Pillman's like, hey, man, it's all right, man. It's fucking over. Oh, Austin's back in the ring with the steel chair. He fucking nails it. Anvil. He should nail fucking Bruce. Look at Bruce. Bruce is throwing in real shots. Because he don't know how to work.
It's like, I thought I was supposed to hit you for real. What do you mean? What do you mean this isn't real?
He goes right back in there. Austin sucks.
Get
chant.
Fucked, Canada.
Yeah, get fucked, Canada. This is awesome, though.
See, they're not so nice.
So much fucking heat. Bret Hart standing on the second rope as the shit goes down.
This is wild.
Officials. It's crazy.
Look like prison guards from like the Green Mile.
Walking a mile. Austin's being cuffed like an animal, Vince McMahon says.
That's not right.
I don't think animals get cuffed often.
They get shot and put down.
Oh, this is when he's going to peg fingers, right? Yeah.
Yes.
He's handcuffed.
Up at the ramp, right?
Right, when he gets on the ramp, yeah. Let's see. This has got to be it, right? Yeah. Oh, Pillman's pegging him off, laughing his ass off. Oh, see? There it is. Bruce Hart just kicked Austin right in the head.
Yeah, Austin.
And now he's going to bend over. And
yeah.
There it is. He's going to peg. This is the greatest heel, Austin, that there's been right here. This one night. Fuck off, crowd.
Yeah, make sure that scumbag Bruce Hart can see it.
And the Hart Foundation music plays. Now the family gets to go. Now.
They're all happy. We won that. We won. Is this what it feels like to win a war?
It does get to feel like a victory because the crowd loves you.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's certain wrestlers in there that think they actually won something that wasn't predetermined.
Yeah. Like Bruce Hart.
Yeah. We fucking did it! We're better than Stone Cold! But, yeah, fucking great.
Isn't that Austin 316 shirt in the crowd?
Yeah. That shirt's been around for a while at that point. Oh, but you mean Canada? Yeah.
British Bulldog's wife's like crying.
Yeah, what the fuck's she crying about?
Yeah. This is so great. Country loves us. We're going to get the keys to the country.
British Bulldog did two things. He did a power slam and he got body slammed by Hawk.
Yeah, and bulldogged.
Right, he got bulldogged by Goldust. Owen Hawk.
It was a good match, though, considering the amount of participants where it can kind of get hectic. I don't know what the fuck I said, you know, 80 episodes ago about it, but I like it today.
Yeah, I... Well, I know I went 4 skulls with it at the time.
And where did I go?
I think you probably went around the same, but
okay.
I know you didn't go lower than that because we were both happy about it.
Pretty close, yeah.
But hell of a match. It's funny to see, you know, like I said before, obviously this is the big story of this match is the change in dynamic. You know, here in Canada, these heels are babyfaces. And they're not trying to mess with it. It's like, here it is. Their baby face is here. The crowd loves it.
Yeah, just you know, react to how the crowd reacts.
Right.
Wrestling needs more of that.
Yep. Stop trying to control everything. Just let it play out. It's fucking family reunion here.
Yeah, really.
Brett rules with 2 T's in Canada. Have you been watching? He doesn't go by 2 T's anymore. He was Brett Hart with 2 T's early on. But clearly, if you've been watching WWF television, he's not Brett with 2 T's anymore. Those signs always get me. All right. So,
oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's it. Celebration, the Hart family. It's in all their glory. Like I said, it'll all end in 4 months.
That's where they peaked.
Right, that's their peak, and shit's about to go downhill. And it's it's really going to go downhill. You know, so we have, right now, the situation is Shawn Michaels got beat up by Bret Hart, throws a hissy fit, leaves. He finds his way back, and that's the beginning of the end when he comes back. When Shawn Michaels comes back, it's basically plotting to fuck Bret Hart. And that's what causes him to leave, and that fucks up everything. That's all Shawn Michaels' fault for this downfall of Bret Hart. my opinion. All right, so good match there. JV, if you don't remember what your star rating was, what would you give it now? You know, it's been a year and a half almost. So
it could change. Considering the amount of people in the match, and a lot, usually these matches are a shit show. They don't usually go well. So I'm going to give it 4 smoking skulls tonight.
Yeah, okay. So probably
because, I mean, it was fast-paced. It wasn't boring. I didn't feel like it got dull. I mean, we kind of went off talking about, but that's usually what we do. Because we're hanging out watching a wrestling match here for the most part.
Right.
But I mean, it's well-paced. There's not a lot of, like, dead air in the match. But one of my only complaints is the fact that some of the pairings seemed, like, too timed. Like, remember when you're like, oh, why is he tagging out? And it's just so, like, they can get the other guy in the ring to get some match time.
Right. Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, so, yeah, I'm going to go 4.
Yeah. Now, 4 is a strong rating for just the things that you were saying, like where it was obvious, like, all right, Anvil's got to get in the ring, Hawk's got to get in the ring and get some time. But it still worked out pretty well. In the heart of it, the match was still Austin versus Bret Hart. Like, that was the big parts of the match, and that's when you've seen it working so well. That's when you get most of the good spots, is when Austin and Bret Hart are working together. And that was just an enjoyable match. The crowd really hypes it up, too.
That's like, what helps it a lot, the crowd.
Right, this is
the crowd can make or break a match. And they really, that's what gives it this extra star. The extra skull, I mean. So it's probably only 3 skulls without this crowd. Throw in this crowd automatic. The crowd, the heat, the sound.
Right. You know, yeah, it's good. If this match was in fucking Pennsylvania.
Performance Center.
Not the Performance Center. But
on Monday night.
Yeah, just like a regular Monday night Raw paper, like Monday night Raw main event in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It wouldn't have that crowd reaction. You know, even if it was in your house. You know, just some city in the United States. It wouldn't have felt the same. So being in Canada was huge. And that was just timing.
Yeah.
They didn't plan out that, oh, we're going to have this angle and it's going to build to this show here. Because the shit's got to get booked so far in advance. And, you know, the planning for all the bookings isn't like it was in the past where they could do things a year ahead of time. But like, oh, at WrestleMania, you know, it's going to be Hulk Hogan versus Macho Man. We're going to plan for it all year. Like this, at this point in 1997, things change so often. The roster changes so often. That they don't know what's coming in July when they booked the venue back probably in January or something, you know? So it worked out. Timing worked out and it was fucking perfect. You know, I don't know why at the time that there was a whole lot of going back and forth between the United States and Canada. You know, that was kind of seems like a new experiment that they were doing that they've never really done again. It's all interesting and it's some good shit. 1997 is a hell of a year to go back and watch, and we covered it pretty thoroughly here on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. So if you're just new to the show and you're hearing this, go back to our earlier episodes and check out what we talked about in 1997. So some good stuff there. All right, so let's take a little break and we'll be back with our Bottom Line wrap up.
What's up, Rattlesnakes? This is Alex Dorio, one half of the Talking Taker podcast. And even though Stone Cold might say DTA, don't trust anybody, we hope you'll trust us when we say if you love the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, you'll also enjoy what we're doing over on Talking Taker. Each week, my lifelong wrestling buddy and fellow creature of the night, Mr. Travis White, and I explore one pay-per-view match in the career of the greatest professional wrestling character of all time, The Undertaker. We're right in the heart of the dead man's second coming in the late 2000s. But we've got over 125 episodes, so you can jump in from the beginning or pick and choose from some of your favorite moments, including every single Undertaker versus Stone Cold Steve Austin match analyzed in detail, including a great crossover episode with our buddies here at the Bottom Line Cast. You can listen to us wherever podcasts are found, and you can follow along our journey at Talking Taker on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks to Mike and JV for letting us plug the show, and take her easy.
All right, we're back now for the bottom line wrap up. And just to give you a little information about what's coming up here on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, next week we have episode 86, I Don't Deserve That. And we are covering June 2001. And it is our special two-year anniversary episode. So 2 years that JV and I have been at it, haven't missed a week putting out an episode for you guys, whether it's a regular episode or a watch-along or some other kind of bonus type episode like a top five. We've been giving you content every single week for 2 years at this point. So, you know, pat ourselves on the back like Barry Horowitz. And hopefully you guys have been enjoying it. So that's what we have coming up next week. And then in 2 weeks, we'll continue on to episode 87. And we're going to get to the King of the Ring 2001. So we'll have a Raw and a SmackDown and then the big show, King of the Ring. So that's what we have coming up on tap here at the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. Take a listen to what's going on with our podcast pals. Like Talking Taker, Alex and Travis, this week they're talking about Bragging Rights 2010 from October 2010. And it's a Buried Alive match, The Undertaker versus Kane. Check them out. It's Talking Taker. You follow them on Twitter at Talking Taker. Hell of a show. It's our Big Brother podcast. Also, check out Booking the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast with Mike Mills, Hardbody Hopper, and Doc Turner. And they release a show every Thursday. And this week, they are covering April 29th of 1989 for the NWA World Championship Wrestling. So that's the original 605 TBS show. And they are into April 29th, 1989. They've been doing it since 1985. So go check out Booking the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast. Also, check out Our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast with Michael Quinn and Joe Morata. And this week is episode 191, and it's the kickoff to their 20th season. And in their new opening segment, they are taking questions from listeners. And this week's question is, what do you think would happen with Ric Flair if he were to actually have joined the WWF in 1988? How would it be rebooked? Because he was supposed to show up at SummerSlam 88 and be on the Brother Love show instead of Hacksaw Jim Duggan. But
last what a disappointment that must have been. I mean, I know Hacksaw Jim Duggan was like big, but
right, he was.
Fuck, you know, Ric Flair though. Jeez.
So you're reading in the dirt sheets that Ric Flair is about to appear. It's like,
yeah. You go from woo to oh. Yeah.
So they do a good discussion with kind of like rebooking what would have happened in 88 into 89 and how that may have changed his 91 into 92 run. So cool shit there. They also start their new Royal Rankings this week, and they're ranking factions or stables. So in the Royal Rankings, they do the top 10 best, and then in the Royal Flush, they rank the worst, the top or the bottom 10. And the two teams or the two factions that were drawn for them to rank in this first week is the Nation of Domination and the New World Order. It's clear to see who's number one there.
Yeah. I mean, they got to be at least in the top three, right?
Yeah, I would say.
WL.
Yeah. Right. I would go. Yeah, I don't know exactly where I would go, but in the top three, you got to have NWO, DX, Four Horsemen.
Four Horsemen.
Right.
Yeah, I got NWO and Four Horsemen as like my 1-2.
Yeah, you're right. That's
I guess
1-2.
DX maybe 3, because I mean, I don't know. I was never really a big DX guy. So
yeah, I wasn't either, actually. You know, they were cool, but they were small. And, yeah, and they didn't like transform a whole lot either. Like, at least with the Four Horsemen, there was that original Four Horsemen, but then there was another one, and it kept going and transformed.
Yeah.
And it was still always pretty prevalent and badass, you know, for most of it. Yeah, NWO or Four Horsemen. I think for nostalgia or just like historical, I would say Four Horsemen because right. they led, you know, they set the groundwork for what stables are in wrestling. But if you want to hear more discussion on stables and factions, check out our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. They also do a review of a classic episode of Monday Night Raw from May 17th, 1993. That's the episode where the Lightning Kid or the Kid defeats Razor Ramon. And also Marty Jannetty beats Shawn Michaels for the IC title. So check that out. It's our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast. Also check out our friend Jay Free on Free Your Geek. His latest episode is episode 93. And he's talking about the Umbrella Academy. He's talking about Apple TV shows. And just go back into his archives. Check out his previous episodes. All different pop culture types of content. So interesting stuff there. JV and I have been on a few shows in the past, too, talking about wrestling, talking about comics. So definitely check out Free Your Geek. And also, JV and I do another show. It's called the Extreme ECW Livecast, and it's available on the Book in the Territory Patreon $5 tier. So patreon.com/bookintheterritory. You could go there, sign up for a month for $5, get a whole lot of great content from them, bonus content. But also you get the Extreme ECW Livecast where JV and I are doing watch along just like we did here on this episode, but we do it for ECW Hardcore TV. We started all the way back in 1993 with episode 1, and now we are into 1994, and things are getting really good in ECW at this point, and we've just released today episode 30. Where we cover Hardcore TV episode 63 and 64 from June 28th and July 5th of 1994. Check us out, the Extreme ECW Livecast. You can also follow us on Twitter at ExtremeCast if you want to get a little taste of what we have going on there before you subscribe. Check us out there on Twitter. As always, thanks guys for listening. You know, it's been nearly 2 years and it keeps growing and growing. You know, I've gone back and looked at, you know, how many listens we got in the first 30 days of our early episodes compared to what we get in the first 30 days of our newer episodes. And it's like, holy shit, I didn't realize it's grown that much. So thank you for everybody that has been there from day one, because there are many of you that have been there from day one. But everybody else that's come along the way, thank you for making this more than worthwhile. I think it's worthwhile because I get to go back and watch wrestling, but I get to talk to my best friend about this old wrestling. So that's my favorite part of it. But it wouldn't be the same if we didn't have people actually listening. And there are people actually listening. So we thank you for that, I'm sure. I'm sure JV feels, you know, the same.
Oh, absolutely. Hell yeah. Yep.
All right. And with that said, we'll be back next week, continuing on our journey through Stone Cold Steve Austin's career into June of 2001. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV. JV, your final words? All right, guys. See you next week. So long.
And that's the bottom line. And as far as I'm concerned, this is over with, so get the hell out of here.